Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 25, dealing with ceremonial pictures. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, some people have no interest in the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. They simply view them as, that's Old Testament, and therefore not relevant, or maybe less relevant. But ceremonial laws teach very important things of who Jesus is and what he did for you. So you must properly understand the ceremonial laws, and Lord willing, you will understand them today. Our headings are the completion of ceremonial laws, and then second, the continuation of the principles of the ceremonial laws. Our goals are that through pictures you will see that your salvation was fully accomplished by Jesus Christ, and that the more you know him, the more you will be able to love and worship him. Let's read together Article 25. Let's begin. We believe that the ceremonies and symbols of the law ceased at the coming of Christ, and that all the shadows are accomplished, so that the use of them must be abolished among Christians. Yet the truth and substance of them remain with us in Jesus Christ, in whom they have their completion. In the meantime, we still use the testimonies taken out of the law and the prophets to confirm us in the doctrine of the gospel and to regulate our life in all honorableness to the glory of God according to his will. The completion of the ceremonial laws. There are three different types of laws in the Bible. We have the civil law, laws that were given to direct the nation of Israel alone, and you can learn principles from the civil law. For example, an Israelite was required to build a fence around the roof of his flat-topped house to prevent people from falling. Now, you don't have flat-top houses today, but you do have swimming pools, and you have to make sure it's secure so that somebody does not fall into your pool, and usually a fence around it helps that way. The second type of law were moral laws. These are the Ten Commandments, which are permanent. They will stand till heaven. And this is why, in many ways, it's contemptible that people now act like if we have 9 laws and they ignore the Sabbath one altogether, saying that that law was fulfilled by Jesus, as if he didn't fulfill the other 9 for you as well. And then there are the ceremonial laws. Laws that pointed to, by ceremonies and symbols, the work of the coming Christ. It is about the ceremonial laws that we want to talk about today. These are pictures. And you can easily remember them this way. The principles, civil law. The permanent, the moral law. And then the pictures, the ceremonial laws. All three of these laws together were called the Torah. Now, what about these ceremonial laws? Ceremonial laws pictured Christ and his work in 2 ways. First, symbols. Symbols are representations. For example, in the temple you would see the candlestick, the showbread, and the altar of incense. These 3 symbols, these were symbols of the work of the Father by the candelabra, the 7 candlestick. The Son was pictured by the showbread, 2 stacks of 6 pita bread, literally showing the provision of the bread of life. And then in front of the curtain was the altar of incense, which pictured the work of the Holy Spirit, who would pray for us, who would live in us, and would be that sweet-smelling savor that goes up to God for us. But there were other symbols as well. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of Jesus. The breastplate of the high priest symbolized Christ carrying the world on his heart. Remember, there were 12 stones set on the chest of the high priest. the age of the Passover lamb. The nature of the Passover lamb symbolized Christ as the proper sacrifice. Israel also had to avoid certain types of meats, like ducks and pork. The meanings of these symbols were clear in general, but sometimes not as clear, and you had to do some digging to understand what these symbols meant. But then ceremonial laws also had ceremonies, as the name suggests. Ceremonies were acts of worship. For example, circumcision, making different types of offerings, burnt offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, etc. There were ritual laws of, or laws for ritual cleansing. Celebrating of the Passover itself, the killing of the animal, the eating of the animal, there were also special feast days that had to be observed, and special Sabbaths. And these also taught about Jesus. Thing is, signs or symbols and ceremonies serve to lead Israel to and to keep Israel faithful in the expectation of Messiah or Christ. That's why the psalmist, we just said, when you go into the temple, there are beautiful things to see. Things that pointed him to the grace that God would give him through Jesus Christ. Now, are there pictures, symbols, and ceremonies in the New Testament? Now, while the Old Testament had limited words but many pictures, the New Testament is somewhat of a reverse. There are many words but limited pictures. But we do have two symbols. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper. Two simple but non-bloody signs. Yet the goals of both the Old Testament and New Testament signs and symbols is to speak of the work of Jesus Christ in one continuous story. The New Testament explains what the Old Testament symbolized. It's all about the work of Jesus Christ. Now, the New Testament does not have many symbols and ceremonies, yet the New Testament teaches that these signs or the symbols and ceremonies were copies and shadows of Christ. So we have that explanation for us. We know the Jews understood that to some extent, and the apostles explained what the Jews understood, and maybe explained it even further for us. They call them shadows of Christ. The Levitical priesthood was abolished when Christ came, but they surely were pointing to Jesus Christ in that way. Let's read a couple of passages and then we will see a little bit more about this. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 4 and 5 first. Let's begin. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Right, the apostle writing the book of Hebrews points out to the fact that these things were shadows of the things to come. Shadows of Christ. Even the tabernacle itself was described as being very ordinary on the outside, covered with skins of animals and kind of a dull, grayish, brownish color, pointing to Jesus Christ, who was not very attractive on the outside, that people would want to care about him, as they cared for King Saul in the Old Testament. But what was inside was what made the difference. And that's what you saw in the tabernacle. Dreary looking on the outside, but inside there's the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the means by which we were reconciled to him and provided for by him. They were glorious pictures of Jesus Christ and his work. That's why the copies had to be made or the directions were given to them, you have to make it exact as possible to what I said. God spoke to Moses. Then look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 together. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. While the copies of the sacrifice had to be repeated, because they were not perfect, it is not so with Christ. There is no need for another sacrifice because they were just shadows of the good things to come. That's the purpose of these signs and symbols. They were there and they teach about Christ, but they were not perfect. That's why Jesus had to come. And that's why you see such a glorious thing when John the Baptist had to run around announcing, clearing the way, because it's going to be fulfilled. All those signs and symbols, which are beautiful in their own right, were going to be put aside now, because an even more glorious thing would come. The one who would be the sacrifice one time for all times. We say these signs and ceremonies have now been completed or fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because they were shadows. As beautiful as they were shadows of Jesus. They will pass away in their effect. Shadows, of course, and that language was used on purpose. Because you know, if there is light all around you, you have no shadow. When the light comes, shadows disappear. That's kind of interesting. That's the language that's used to describe Jesus. He was the light of the world. And the shadows of things now have to pass away. Do we have proof of this? Well, the writer points out that Jesus had to do God's will. He had to fulfill the symbols and ceremonies that the new law might take its place. And that new law that we read about, or the administration of the new law, no longer requires symbols and ceremonies, the bloody ones of the Old Testament. But trusting in Christ's work, faith, instead of having the priest make sacrifices all the time. One faith in one Savior, and all the ceremonies have passed. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9 together. And then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second covenant. It's a covenant that he established. And then Galatians chapter 5 verse 2 together. "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." So we see now the symbols and the signs being passing away. That if someone wanted to be circumcised, he said, that doesn't do anything for you. You can be circumcised if you want, but it's not going to give you any blessing in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the feast days, the food laws, these have all passed. But Jesus Christ is your circumcision, as he uses that expression to describe the work of Jesus for us. And you can greatly benefit from him. One more, or a couple more on this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 together. "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." So, you want to celebrate that feast, easting? Those things don't mean anything anymore. Those were the pictures or the shadows. Christ is the substance. The signs and ceremonies did their jobs. They led Christians in the Old Testament to the cross. That that's why we conclude with Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 for this first point. Together, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So all those who are Christians are seen as being perfected by this one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But it should also include to you a reminder that Jesus fulfilled the moral law as well. Not only did he fulfill the ceremonial laws, which now have passed away because he was those things were just shadows and he is the reality. We also see him directly saying what he came to do for us regarding the moral law. And let's read together Matthew 5:17. Together, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So the law against murder, Jesus fulfilled that. The law against misusing God's name, Jesus fulfilled that. The law against bearing false witness, Jesus fulfilled that. And you are credited with what he has done. So he fulfilled the ceremonial laws, he fulfilled the moral laws, and you get the credit. This means you don't have to light any candles or wear special clothes to worship God. You can come and listen to preaching about Christ's work. You can sing about Christ's work. You can pray for blessings from Christ's work. And you can confess your sins. You don't have to take animals to the priest. There are no priests. Jesus is your priest. And he gave himself as your once for all time sacrifice. And this is why you can eat pork and Peking duck. I don't know if they call it Beijing duck now, but you can enjoy that for dinner. These signs and symbols have passed. You can wear clothes mixed with two fibers, which you couldn't do in the Old Testament because they were teaching purity. And now those things have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. They were useful in their time, but now they've been completed. And you have to be careful for those who try to enforce some of these laws on people today. It's ignoring you. You may make some of these choices. There are many people, for example, who don't eat duck. I'm one of them. But that's personal choice. It's not because I'm spiritually better than anyone else. But let's come to the second point of the sermon today, the continuation of the principles of the ceremonial laws. We see the ceremonial laws for what they were. These pictures, these acts of worship and so on that pointed to Christ. And then the Bible says Christ fulfilled them because he was your burnt offering and he was your sin offering and he was your transgression offering. And the peace he brought with God by giving himself. So those are fulfilled. He was your circumcision. Well, what do we do then? What happens with all of those things? Are they gone forever? Well, the ceremonies themselves have passed, but the principles of the ceremonial laws continue. And that's what we will look at in this second point today. First, you don't have to participate in these Old Testament ceremonies and symbols, but you can learn from them. Why? By these symbols and ceremonies, you can see illustrations of Christ's life and Christ's work for you. And there's a richness and a fullness that an illustration can do or a picture can do that makes you understand something better. You can see, if I can describe for you what happened in Ukraine, you say, okay, I get that. But if I show you pictures of some of the buildings and the homes and so on, then you start to see in a more visual way, a richer and fuller way. And you can get a better appreciation of what the circumstances were there. And that's why these things were there for us. So what principles specifically you can learn from the symbols and ceremonies of the Old Testament? I just picked some. There are many others that we can use, but I picked some of them for you. You can learn of Christ's purity, His perfection, His ministry for 3.5 years, the preservation of His bones, and the wholeness of His sacrifice from the Passover ceremonial lamb. If you read, go back to Exodus and see the initiation of the Passover, and you should, you have a richness of who Christ was and His work for you as your Passover lamb. He couldn't be one with spots, the Passover lamb, because Jesus was not one with spots. It was in His 4th year that He was crucified, 4th year of ministry. Just like it was in the 4th year, 4th day of separation, that the animal was killed. Jesus died specifically for His people, and His death is never wasted. And so the Passover lamb, you look there and you see the picture that none of the meat could be wasted. They had to allot it based on the number of people. If there weren't enough people in the home to eat that lamb, they had to bring other people in as a picture of the work of Jesus Christ. That's a picture of limited atonement that we see in the Passover. What a beautiful picture that was. Second, you can learn how to be saved from your sins from looking at the Old Testament ceremonies. The sins and trespass offerings with all the blood remind you of what you deserved. And it's not that glorious picture you see sometimes painted about the beautiful temple and people are happy and running around. It was a stinking place. Imagine all that blood and all the animals that were killed there on a regular basis. What a picture of what you deserved and how that animal took your place, just like Jesus would take your place. Don't miss the Old Testament and think that there was a God of violence in the Old Testament and now we have a God of love. It was love that caused all those animals to die. Love for you that you would see there as well. Someone took your place just like Jesus. In a way, it is a more painful thing knowing that the Son of God came down and innocently was killed for you than animals which have no souls. Third, you don't have to sacrifice an animal before worship as the Old Testament priests did. Instead, when you gather on Sunday, with the knowledge of what has happened, you can learn to focus on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when you come to worship. By the way, that's why if worship isn't based upon the cross, it's not worship. If there's no reference to Christ in the preaching, if there's no pointing to the redeeming of man and the sanctifying of the Christian, that's not preaching. Evaluate that by what is commonly done today with all the moralistic things and teaching you to plant pomegranates and olive trees in Israel as a way of fulfilling Bible instead of pointing people to Christ. Instead of pointing people to the cross, real worship will always be focused on the work of Jesus Christ for you. Fourth, while you don't have to be circumcised today, you can focus on the circumcision of your heart and learn to put off uncleanness. And circumcision was such a visible thing. Every time the man looked at his body, he had to go back, or more easily would go back to the fact of what he deserved, how he deserved to be killed and fall to the ground and be judged by God. But God provided the blood that would save him. So circumcision is not something to ignore and say, oh, such cruelty. but it's pointing you to the grace you have in Jesus Christ, who became your circumcision. And that you will then learn, based on that, to put off uncleanness. Because that's what circumcision did, resulted in cleaner body. And so you learn to pursue cleanness of soul by putting off sins that easily beset you, overwhelm you. And you learn to fight because you learn what Jesus was for you. So you can add to this list, but I wanted to point to you so that you see the richness of some of these Old Testament sacrifices. Don't bypass them. Look at the details, and sometimes you might need an extra commentary or maybe ask questions so that you can get the fullness and the richness of these meanings and appreciate Christ's work for you more. Now, on the contrary to what you might know and believe, the Roman Catholics continue to sacrifice Christ daily. The Bible says once for all times, all the signs and ceremonies are done. He died one time and that was good enough. But they continue to sacrifice him daily, or they attempt to. Just like the animals were daily sacrificed for sins in the Old Testament. This is really a return to Judaism, where worship is filled with symbols and ceremonies. This sacrifice of Jesus is called the Eucharist. The Eucharist demands priests rather than pastors. We feed what God has given to you. They said, no, we've got to fix your problem. We have to make sacrifices for you. But if Christ has fully paid for the sins of the world, why does he need to be daily sacrificed? In some kind of vain attempt to please God? The Roman Catholic Eucharist is abominable because it robs Christ of his glory. The symbols are gone. The richness and fullness came. And now they say, we're going back to the symbols. We're going back to the daily sacrifice. That's why you should never participate in the perversion of Christ's sacrifice in the Roman Catholic Mass. Never attend the Eucharist, because it attacks Jesus personally. It's saying his sacrifice was not good enough, and we need to do it daily. But then there's another side to this. The error of the Anabaptists. In the past, and in many ways even today, they take the opposite extreme view to the Roman Catholic. You see, the pendulum. One says, well, we are going to keep killing Jesus. And the other one goes to the other side. They ignore the ceremonies of the Old Testament and the principles that they stood for. That's why most sermons in those churches are based upon the New Testament. But since the Old Testament promises are fulfilled in Christ, you need to study the promises of the Old Testament to better worship Christ. The Old Testament enriches your worship of Christ. And one more serious mistake from the Arminians and other Anabaptists, they treat the Lord's Supper and baptism purely as symbols. So it was a nice picture, and okay, but it's gone now. And it's all about Jesus. As if they didn't have anything to do with Jesus. But that's the problem. When you look at these signs and symbols, they're a nourishment for your souls because they all spoke about Jesus, just like baptism and the Lord's Supper does. And so when you reflect upon them, when you think of how they represent Christ, that's nourishment for your souls. That's like food for your souls. That's a means of grace. That's why you don't ignore the Old Testament ceremonies. The Old Testament ceremonies and the New Testament non-bloody ceremonies. Because they all spoke about Christ. And they all become a means of grace to you if you receive them by faith. So when you read about the Passover and you think of Jesus, Your life is blessed. Your soul is strengthened because you know He did that for you. He was that perfect lamb, the one without any blemish, the one who was set apart, the only one who was fit. See, they couldn't just go and get any lamb to kill. And when you receive, when your mind reflects upon that, that becomes a source of nourishment for your souls. That's grace. That's grace. So let's conclude. Jesus Christ completed or fulfilled all the symbols, the candles, the showbread, and all of those things, and ceremonies, the sacrificial, the sacrifices, the feast days, etc., of the Old Testament. And there is no greater visible picture of this completion of the ceremonies of the Old Testament than when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top down, when Jesus was crucified, and access to the holiest place in the temple was open to all. The one act was symbolic of all those ceremonies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because that's what prevented you from going into the holiest place. That curtain that was thick, almost a palm thickness. That's how many curtains were put there. So no one could see. That was kept away from you. No one could see what happened in there. But then Jesus ripped that open. So now you have access. All those ceremonies have passed. And Christ's willingness to do this for you started with His love for you. His love for you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't dismiss the Old Testament. Especially those chapters that have lots of instructions about signs and ceremonies. Don't be scared about them. Take the time to dig in, to love them, to read them, to learn of the nature and work of Jesus Christ. Remember Philip, Acts chapter 8? He spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible says he turned to Isaiah 53. And it says, beginning there, he preached Christ. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. There was no Hebrews or Revelation. He says, beginning there, he preached Christ. What a beautiful picture. Jesus was there. So learn of the nature and work of Christ from the Old Testament. Ask questions about what you read if you don't know. Do the research. See, if you do this, you will grow in appreciation of Christ's work and be a blessing to the Lord and to your neighbor. Because your soul will be nourished. Your faith will be stronger. Will you promise today to work, to study these signs and ceremonies more so your life can be enriched? I challenge you to do that. Challenge you to promise the Lord not to ignore 2/3 of the Bible, the Old Testament, but that you read it and be nourished and strengthened. And finally, if you're not a Christian, let me remind you that Jesus gave His life for His children. He prayed when He was on earth, and He continues to pray that God will bring His children into His kingdom. So today, if you hear a voice telling you to surrender to Jesus Christ, ask Him to make you His child. Don't delay. Come to Him and find rest. Rest forevermore. Let us pray.